They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Dire climate predictions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The big news of the day is an alarming report on global warming. 2,500 scientists around the world contributed to this UN study. They're 90% certain that humans are causing the planet to heat up. They say temperatures could rise as much as 11 degrees by the end of the century, and there's not much we can do to stop it. The White House called the report significant. But at congressional hearings this week, we've heard testimony the Bush administration has pressured scientists to downplay global warming. And today, a London newspaper said there may be another level to this. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, is with us. Stephen, what's this report all about?
The Guardian newspaper is reporting that scientists and economists have been offered as much as $10,000 plus expenses each if they will rubbish the latest UN report on climate change, which is published in Paris today. So if they write an article or make a speech which picks holes or finds flaws in the UN report, they could earn themselves up to $10,000.
My first reaction is it just sounds like flat-out bribery. Am I wrong?
Well, I suppose that depends on your point of view. This money has been offered by a think tank funded by ExxonMobil. This is the American Enterprise Institute.
Right.
According to The Guardian, it received $1.5 million from ExxonMobil, and it has close links to the Bush administration. They no doubt would argue they are simply trying to fuel the debate on climate change. But the reaction of climate scientists here has been pretty negative. One at the University of East Anglia said this is a desperate attempt to distort science.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Our reporter, Stephen Beard, in London. President Bush said this week he's worried about democracy in Venezuela. That country's leader, Hugo Chavez, responded by saying Bush is the real threat to democracy around the world. There's no love lost between these two. What's happening in Venezuela is an intriguing story. So we just sent our reporter Dan Gretsch down there. He joins us from Caracas. Dan, what will you be looking into?
Well, the first question that I have is Chavez, who is so villainized in the United States, who is archenemy number one of the United States, was actually reelected just this past December in a landslide. His margin of victory was the largest of any president in Latin America, and there were 13 elections this past year. So I'm going to look at where the base of his popularity is and why, in particular, Venezuela's poor are so dedicated and are so supportive of him.
Do you have any sense about that?
You know, it all starts, I think, in his social programs. What really people love about him is the fact that he's subsidized cars, and that he's offering free or inexpensive health care, and that there are now parallel markets called mercales that offer food at a fraction of the price of the regular markets. And one of the stories I'm going to do is going to focus on those mercales.
Well, Chavez was just reelected in December, and he's made a lot of moves to concentrate power again, that centralization idea. What has he been up to in the last month?
He actually underwent the first nationalizations in his 8 years in office of telecom and electricity, which just so happen to be two industries that are right now controlled by U.S. corporations. 2 days ago, Venezuela's parliament gave him the power to rule by decree for 18 months. So he's basically got a carte blanche to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, things have been going so fast. You know, the Bush administration's head is probably spinning about all this. I mean, how does the Bush administration feel about Chavez nationalizing everything, including the oil fields?
Well, I think the Bush administration is nervous. On the face of it, they say that they just want Chavez, if he does nationalize oil, to reimburse the companies for what he takes. But the larger point is that the U.S. needs affordable oil from Venezuela. And without that oil, the U.S. economy can't run smoothly. But at the same time, and I think this is a point that's not made often enough, is that Venezuela needs the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is Venezuela's number one customer. And so by buying Venezuelan oil, the U.S. is actually making Chavez's revolution possible. And so when he's doling out money to the poor in Caracas or to Bolivia or Nicaragua or Cuba, he's handing out dollars.
Our America's Desk correspondent, Dan Gretsch, in Caracas, Venezuela.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City. The Foundation of Entrepreneurship. On the web at kauffman.org.
Some good news about identity theft this morning. A new report says the number of ID thefts has dropped 12%. 3 years ago, this was the country's fastest-growing crime. Jeff Tyler tells us what may have changed.
Although the report by Javelin Strategy and Research found a big decline in fraudulent new accounts, company president James Van Dyke says identity fraud still costs companies roughly $50 billion a year.
We just took the total down by $6 billion.
Banks have gotten better at authenticating clients, also helping the shift toward online business. Van Dyke recommends using the internet to both receive and pay your credit card statements. Thieves, he says, will steal your outgoing payment right out of your mailbox.
Right around the 10th of the month with a little flag telling them they're there. Those are called Steal Me flags by local police forces. There's your outgoing checks.
The internet also allows consumers to monitor their financial accounts closely. According to the study, half of all identity fraud cases are spotted first by the victim. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Turner Broadcasting may pay for the promotion that caused a scare in Boston this week. Ad Age says Turner's talking with city officials about covering the costs of the police response. Strange-looking electronic devices were found all over the city. They were promoting a late-night cable cartoon. And while we're on the subject, the feds may sue Paramount Pictures and the LA Times for a similar stunt last year. In that case, plastic music boxes were placed inside newspaper racks to promote the movie Mission Impossible 3. Some people thought they might be bombs. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.